Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Well, welcome back, friends, to another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. Today, I am welcoming my special guest, Cherie Johnson. She is a mom of three. She is a blogger. And you know what? She just knows how motherhood can strip you of your identity, at least feel that way for a time being in the different seasons that you're in. Her blog is called Mind, Body, Spirit Bliss, and she helps you take control of your sanity, your day, and your time. I'm so excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
That's awesome. So out of the gate, we got to ask, mom of three, so where are you on your parenting journey?
Right now, I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can't go anywhere by yourself yet. Well, time is coming. I'll tell you, it feels amazing when that time comes. even if you're going to Dollar General or getting gas, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't need a babysitter. That's a good time. So, you know, one of the things that you and I, we connected and you wanted to bring to the table for us to talk about here at All the Things, we talk about our time, our health, our interpersonal relationships, saying no and setting boundaries, growth and service to self and others. And you have a really interesting story about where your life as a mom kind of, you had a pivotal turn. So I really want you to bring that to light to my listeners and really share that story, because I think it's so important for us as moms, because you had a realization that you weren't caring for yourself. You weren't serving yourself. So tell us, you know, how that came to be, where were you in life and how this pivotal turn happened?
Sure. So I just had my third child unexpectedly. Like, I found out that I was pregnant with my third child when my second child was 8 months. I was already 2 months pregnant by then. So with that happening, I realized that eventually I would have to quit my job. And this was like a big thing for me, because like my career was like part of my identity. I mean, I did all the things I was supposed to do. Like, I went to school and, you know, I had the family, had the house, had the cars, everything. And like, I had a good job and I was like, I'm supposed to be happy. But then when the one thing got taken away from me that I worked so hard for, I didn't know where to go from there. Like, I was at home for like the longest, and I just felt like all I was doing was taking care of my family. Like, I felt like I was a maid. Like, whatever they needed, whatever they wanted, even if they didn't feel like they needed it, I was just there giving it to them, whatever it could be. Like, I was giving it to them. Or even my friends, all I would do was just give. They would be like, oh, do you need help? I'm like, no, I got this. Like, you know, because I'm superwoman. Mm-hmm. I got this. And I really didn't. So the one day, my husband comes home and he comes into the driveway, and literally I just run out the house and like, I'm just like, I'm leaving. I gotta go. I pull out the driveway and I like, tears just started coming down my eyes, because it was just like, I didn't know who I was anymore. I was so lost. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know like what I needed or what I even wanted in life anymore. Because the one thing that I was going after that I felt like gave me purpose was my career, and that was gone, because I couldn't afford daycare. Like, with three kids, mm-hmm. it was basically equaled my salary. So I just started driving, and like, tears are falling, and I somehow end up in Target. I feel like that's like the holy grail. Like, that's the place to go where like everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love the pen aisle. If I could just walk through the pen aisle, I'm good. I'm like, at least let me do that.
Yes, I ended up there and I was crying my eyes out. Like, I still had on like my maternity like tights, so they were like too big because you know they have like that extra like belly weight thing in the front. And I have like my oversized sweatshirt and I'm just crying, and so like I'm wiping the snot on my sweatshirt and everything. But I finally get the courage and I just go out and I'm like, this is my time alone. Like, I don't want to go back to the house because I didn't know who I was. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to go get ice cream. I didn't even know if I wanted to go like have a little snack or something. I just was so lost. So I just said, well, I'm here, let me go in. So I just went in and I was walking through the store. I saw like this really cute top that I wanted, but I couldn't buy it for myself because I felt like I was taken away from my kids by doing something for myself. And somehow I ended up in the soup aisle. And literally, I was holding a can of soup and I just lost it again, like right there on the floor. And I like, it's so embarrassing because I feel like the security guard, whoever watched the tape, was probably like cracking up at me, like, what is wrong with this lady? Like, she's seriously nuts. But it wasn't until like I ended up in like the journal aisles and stuff like that after like melting down and then I was leaving out that I realized, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm so stuck on not having like this job or this life that I thought I would have. And instead of being like focusing on what I have and trying to like shift it or pivot it, I was just stuck on like what wasn't there. And I realized that because I didn't know like who I was or what I wanted or anything like that, like I truly lost myself. I didn't know anything about myself. I was just giving, 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 and doing, 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 and keeping busy so my thoughts wouldn't run, so I didn't feel like this depression or anything come on, because I wasn't just real with myself. I didn't know what was going on.
Wow. Now let me ask you, what did you do as your career before you were a stay-at-home mom?
Before I was a stay-at-home mom, I worked in healthcare for a couple of years, and then I worked in finance for a couple of years after that. And I was really good at it. Like, I love numbers.
So did you have very many support? Like when you were feeling like in this dark, deep time of just like unknown, I know when you said like I got it, because I just posted about this the other day. Like I just recently had surgery, but prior to that, when my husband had a job and I was working full time, I didn't have family around, and so I would just either have to hire a babysitter, or do it myself. Like those were the two options, and so you just get used to saying I got it. Because you have to do it. And so even when there's times like you feel guilty, like so case in point, I have the surgery coming up and my best friend doesn't live here. She lives in a different state. So she set up a meal train for me. And I felt like it was so sweet, but I'm gonna be honest, I kind of felt guilty. I was like, oh, it's not that bad. Like my kids are 17, gonna be 15 and 10. And my daughter's 10 and she could like make a full meal for us. You know what I mean? So I just felt guilty, like do I really? My friends are busy. They have their own lives. They have their own families. They're, some of them are working as educators right now because that's what I used to do. And they're super swamped and stressed. But when I accepted that help, it was so like, oh, I didn't have to think about it, you know? And so, did you have support prior to this real like hitting rock bottom? That was there for you, or, or no.
I would say yes and no. Like, at this time, my mom lived further out, but she had like her own problems. Like, she has mental health problems that she was dealing with. So we didn't really see her. Like, she didn't start keeping my, like, they didn't spend the night of her house until I guess my youngest was around like 2 or so. And then my mother-in-law, she would help out when she could, but she still worked and, she had her own life and everything, but that's like the only help I had. My friends would ask me, but I wouldn't say like my really, really close friends, they live further away. But like friends around me would ask if I needed help, but I like you know like when someone asks you for help and you can tell like they're just asking because it's the nice thing to do, not because they really want to help. Yeah, so I felt like it was like that. Like if I would have said yes, I would have felt like it would have been more of a burden than like them actually really wanting to help me.
Yeah, that was that all talk, like
Yeah.
imposition kind of thing. Yeah. I think that that's so crucial. My mom and I have often talked about like different cultures around the world and how they support women in like when they have new babies.
Yes.
Like my mom and dad lived in Japan, and while they were in Japan, my dad's secretary had a new baby, and so my mom got to learn a lot about the customs and traditions, and how the new mom will often go to her mom's house after the baby and convalesce there, and she does not like get up for like a whole week, and there's like special food that they feed her, like all for healing,
Wow.
right? All for healing. And it was so interesting because shortly after my mom and dad were in Japan, I became pregnant with my third, and my mom and dad did not live here, and they came to visit after my daughter was born. But just the fact of like, then they had to leave.
Yes.
They visited for a little bit, then they had to leave. And it's like, okay, and our culture just makes it seem like we should go to Target like a week after a C-section and be getting our own stuff. And like, if you don't do that, something's wrong with you.
Exactly.
And that's, I think that's so, it's so bad for moms because we need community. It doesn't matter who that other mom is. If you have a snotty-nosed toddler and I have a snotty-nosed toddler, like we're sisters. We're snot sisters through and through. Like I get you get me. Like that's all there is to it. So tell me, when did you decide that you wanted to start blogging, and how did that come to be for your blog?
Well, I started blogging before this like all happened, but because they had like my youngest two are like 16 months apart, so like I didn't sleep for like the longest time. So I never really took it seriously. I mean, I made some money here and there, but it was just like it didn't feel like it was the right topic for me. Like I was like I think like as we all start out, if you're like you're a mommy blogger, you start talking about like, oh, you'd like do this craft or do this craft, and I don't even like crafts. I was like,
Disclaimer, Cherie Johnson does not like crafts.
I don't like cleaning up or anything after them, and I was just like, this feels so like big to me. So it took me a while to figure out like what I really wanted to talk about, and it was basically like how we need support too, or like how we need to care for ourselves and put ourselves first, because literally society is always telling us if you're a good wife, if your husband's happy, you're a good mom, if your kids are happy, but what if you're not happy? It doesn't even matter then.
Yeah, it's so true. And I really believe that you have to go away to come back.
Yes.
And when my daughter, right after my daughter was born, I went to high school in California. And so right after she was born, I started making it intentional that I would go every summer to visit my girlfriends who still live in California. And I felt guilty like the first time I ever did that, and I took like a mommycation, because other people who I knew who were maybe a little bit older, like different generation, like that isn't a thing.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I think the difference is that, my husband and I were just talking about this the other day. Like it's kind of a disservice what culture says to women. Because what culture says to women is, you can have it all. You can go to school, you can get your education, you can have the job you want, then you can get married, then you have kids, and then you do it all. The truth is that that's really a lie.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be able to do hashtag all the things. Like you just can't.
Yes.
And so something is going to get shortchanged, and it's most of the time the self-care of the mother.
Exactly.
And that's, I mean, it's a complete lie that we tell. And then we wonder why so many women, have their own mental health issues because they're running around going, oh, well, look, Cherie's doing crafts and I hate crafts and
Yeah.
I guess I should be doing crafts with my toddler. Do you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like, it's not real.
Yeah.
And so what do you think, how did it change for you? Like when you realized that you needed this self-care, like how did you start making that happen for yourself on a daily basis, like in real time, like actionable steps?
I first step was I actually started telling my husband I need help. Like you're here for a reason, and I don't know why, like we get into that we need to do all the things when we don't. Like he was here, I wasn't a single mom or anything like that, so I'm like, well, you have to help me out by doing this. So now, like he knows, like I'm like, okay, this weekend I'm doing this. You have the kids, or like he, even though I don't work anymore, like I do like my blog stuff. And he works outside the home. He still comes home, and either I'll clean up the dishes and he'll give him a bath, or he'll clean up the dishes and I'll give him a bath. Like we trade off on different things. He'll throw laundry in, stuff like that. Because literally being at home, it was kind of easier being in the office because then I had my space to myself, and I could come home and decide what I wanted to do or not. But now I'm with them all the time, and it's just because I'm here. Like sometimes people get caught up that I have to do it all day long, and I don't. I have a cutoff time, and it's usually around 6 o'clock. I'm done. I'm not doing anything else that I don't want to do. And then another, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead,
Oh, then another thing is, it's like how we said, like you have to do hashtag all the things. I just schedule three things that I have to get done for the day. Three things in different areas of my life, so that way I don't like overcompensate in one area. So it could be like one thing's like spending time with my family, maybe we'll watch a movie or something. Another thing might be like a cleaning chore. Then the other thing might be like something just for me.
That balance is really, really important.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I talk about that too with doing time audits with my clients and the importance of like when I have them look at it, I have them look at the HINGS and like actually do the documentation of what you're doing all day long for like a whole week and then be able to see like how did you fill that health bucket? How did you fill that interpersonal relationship bucket, and actually color code it so that you can visually see, oh wow, I had no green. I did nothing for my health this week. No wonder I was crabby and whatever. So it's a real good visual way to do that. But I think that's really, really key. Have you ever heard of the spoon
No, I
theory?
haven't.
Yeah, so the spoon theory, and I really should find out who created it, but I was actually going to have her on as a guest. So basically the spoon theory, and it would have been really helpful when you were in this dark, dark time. But the spoon theory is that you have only a certain number of spoons, and then those spoons count, and certain things may take more of your spoons. So if you think of that, you have like, let's say you have six spoons for the day, and taking your shower with three little kids, it takes you two spoons. Then you have four spoons left for the day. And one of your spoons may be that you fed your children all day. And then, I was talking to my girlfriend about this, and she was really kind of struggling. And I talked to her later about something else, and she said, I can't believe how much easier it is to voice to my husband how I'm feeling now that I can use the spoon theory. And she had explained that she was having a really, really hard time. She struggles with migraines and she was struggling with going outside. She wanted to go outside with her kids and play. And it had been snowing. But all the effort that went into like getting herself together and getting the kids dressed and getting her dressed and actually just getting outside, like, and her husband looked at her and he knew like it was a really, really rough day. And he said, wow, how many spoons did that take? And she was like, all of them. And so it kind of gave them that dialogue to be able to really express, because I think that's another problem that that husbands and wives, you know, husbands don't always understand the mental weight that the moms are carrying.
Yes, this is so true. I was literally like talking to my one friend the other day, and she was complaining like how her husband told her that she should check in his pockets before she washes the clothes. And we literally, we literally went in and like they don't understand. Like we're sitting here trying to remember like what toothbrush needs to be charged, who likes their cup of water with ice, who likes theirs warm, who likes their food at this temperature, who likes it really hot, who doesn't like the salmon, who likes this meal. Like we're trying to remember all these things every single day, you know, and they don't see that.
Right. Yeah. That's that mental
Yeah.
load. I know my husband and I were just talking about this the other day, and this book, he got me this book, and it's basically about marriages and really the way that it should happen in terms of like courting and things like that. And not even so much as a, it's not even like a biblical thing. It's more of just like biology and like what women want, like when they're ready to have children, like even women who are like working and then they want to have children. And so one of the things it talked about was that, you know, women, the majority, not all, but the majority of women that this researcher had interviewed and tested and everything, they were the ones that carried the mental load of, okay, when's the doctor's appointments? When's this? When's the dentist appointments? When's I got to get the kid registered for this? Oh, we have this, da 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 da. It's just usually falls on the women. Doesn't matter if they're a stay-at-home mom or if they're a working mom, that weight is still the same.
Yes, it is.
And so it's just like extra. Not that the husbands don't have their own stressors, but when you have multiple children, it just compounds that weight that the moms feel to make sure that they have everything, hashtag all the things done for the kids, you know? And the other day my husband said, oh, hey, can I have a 4:30 appointment to get my COVID test tomorrow. You know, remind me I have that. And I was like, yeah, do you know how to use your calendar app? Like, make sure to put that in your calendar. I'm like, come
I
on.
know. Or you could even say, "Hey
You know?
Siri, remind me at 4 o'clock or something." Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, something. Ask the cat, you know, but I don't know. You know, so yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about boundaries, because I think to have that self-care and to be able to do that and do that well, we have to have boundaries. So how have you worked boundaries into your daily habit or your daily mode of operation? What things maybe did you have to cut out or kind of readjust and look at things differently?
Well, one thing that I had to do that was like super hard was set boundaries with my parents. My parents have their own issues. Like my father has an addiction issue, and my mom has like her mental health issues. And sometimes like they'll come to me. Like in our dynamic, I'm the only child. I'm the mom, and they're like my kids. So they will like text me if they're like arguing. And I'm like, okay, so what do you want me to do? Like, you guys are both grown. It's like, they're like, I don't want to say brother and sisters because obviously they're my parents and that would be weird. But yeah, they just like go back and forth and they'll come to me and then I'll have to talk to the other parent about how this isn't right and how you shouldn't say this or how you shouldn't do this or how you shouldn't do that. But it affected me because it would bring me back to my own childhood and then I would be like crap for the day for my own kids. So, yeah,
Triggers.
exactly. It would just take me right back. So I had to set boundaries with them and I'm like, well, you guys gotta leave me out of this. And a lot of times I don't really try to talk to them as much because I know something else is gonna pop up. And I'm still trying to set boundaries with people because sometimes I take on their emotional problems as my own, and then I get stuck. So that's something that I'm becoming aware of. But also, I have to set boundaries with my kids. Like, if like right now I'm upstairs, and I'm saying like, I'm busy, mommy's busy, you can't come upstairs. It used to hurt because I'd be like, oh, well, they probably need this or they probably need that. And I'm like, no, their dad is like very capable. He's downstairs. There's nothing wrong with him. He can just get them. Like, so
Right.
I had to set boundaries with my kids. Like, this is mommy's time. You go play with daddy. And then I also had to set
Right.
boundaries with my husband to understand, like, I get it that I can do a lot, but that doesn't mean I want to. So I had to tell him, like, this is my day. This is when I'm doing this. I would even ask, like, what he has scheduled for the week. If he has nothing, okay, I'm like, this is my day. I'll put it on the calendar and make sure you see it. This is my time. And then I also had to.
How does that calendar work for you? Does your husband look
No,
at
he
that
doesn't look
thing?
at it. And like, I'll go in and I'll set like reminders that pop up. I'm like 15 minutes before, 5 minutes before, like an hour before, a day before. I make sure I set four reminders so it pops up on his phone and that he sees it. That's the only way. He doesn't go in and look at it at all.
That's so funny. The reason why I ask you that is because my husband, I would have it on our old refrigerator, the new one, it doesn't stick on the front, but now it's on the side. But in our old refrigerator, that paper calendar was literally eye level. And he would open that door at least 2 times in the morning for breakfast. And I remember saying something, and I'm like, why didn't you put it on the calendar? He's like, I don't ever use that. I go, it's our life. Like, this is our life on paper in your face every day. And so he's like, that's your calendar. That's not my calendar. I'm like, no, it's
Yeah.
our calendar. You know? So yeah, that's just kind of funny. It's just how, different people have different ways of working, organization. So what happened when you had this breakdown in Target? What was the conversation that happened with your husband? How did you approach that conversation, and how did he receive your honesty and you bringing your heart to him about that topic?
Well, when I brought it to him, like I was like crying and everything like that. And I sometimes like I feel like when I talk to him, he becomes defensive because he thinks I'm like, I don't know if it's the way I say things or the way he takes them, but he thinks I'm like trying to say like it's his fault in a way. So I tried to explain, but then I had to wait until like I was calm enough, until I can gather all my thoughts and express it in a way that says like I'm feeling this way because of what I'm doing. But basically when I was able to talk to him, I let him know like because I thought like I literally thought my life was going to be a totally different way. Like I thought I wasn't going to have kids, I thought I wasn't going to get married, I thought I was just going to have like a career and that was it. And then here I am, you know, three kids, marriage, no career. Total opposite. Like the total opposite. So I had.
It's amazing how those plans we have just they're obliterated in like
Yeah,
5 seconds flat.
exactly. So I had to like bring it to him and tell him like you always like wanted what we had. Like he didn't really have a problem with it. And I'm like, but I always imagined something different. So now I'm like starting to realize that like this is my life, but I'm still missing something. And that for me felt like I needed to help outside the home. Like being a mom and being a wife, it's is amazing. But there's something else that I need to do outside of this to make me feel fulfilled. And when I expressed it to him, I'm like, look, you're a dad, you're a husband, but you also have like your friends, you also have like your career and everything. And once I was able to put it on like in terms of his life and how like I thought I was gonna have my life, we were able to like talk about it and come together and hash some things out. And he started supporting me like when I started my blog and everything.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because you're in an interesting season. You're kind of in that season. Your kids are still little, but your oldest is kind of like nearing that
Yeah.
double digit, just a short time, and that it and it changes because the needs of the children change, your ability, to manage things, changes as they become more independent. That's all You know, it's it, every season is so different. It's like we're wearing different clothes every season
Yes.
as parenting. Because, you know, I've never parented my 17-year-old as old as he is today ever before. Like today was a new day, you know. Every day is a new day, right? So that's an interesting season that you're in. And then then before you know it, then the next season happens, and then you're able to kind of feel fulfilled in those different ways. So what about your friends? Like when you had this situation in Target where you really realized, were you vocal with them to be like raw and honest and say, look, I am struggling? Or did you feel more guarded in terms of being authentic in that way?
Actually, I felt more guarded only because, like, during this time, like, I don't know, like, I hear it a lot. Like, you start to lose friends that you thought were going to be there for your, like, entire life. Like, we grew apart. Actually, my two closest friends that I thought were going to, like, I thought we would all be in the nursing home together, like, cutting up and everything, I, like, lost them during this time. And I'm having challenges, like, trying to figure it all out, but then I'm losing them at the same time because of something that happened with two of my other close friends, and it hurt because I wasn't even there when it happened, and it just felt like, wow, so you're not my friend anymore, even though I literally didn't do anything. So that made me feel like, wow, maybe I'm taking my friendships more seriously than people are taking me. So I felt lost in that aspect as well.
Lots of grieving. Well, and you know, it's interesting because when you share about the dynamic of your parents, it sounds like, you know, one of the things that would have made sense is that if you came from a family where there was addiction and mental health issues, and you always felt like you had to be the one in control, then becoming someone who was career driven and wanting to focus on that, where you could be in control of that and what you're going to do, that makes sense. That's like self-preservation, right? That's creating that those boundaries, which n aren't necessarily healthy sometimes, right? But they are to preserve ourselves. And then you had like three Tasmanian devils like knocking those things down, like, sorry, mom. Now it's all out of control. Everything, your worst nightmare. You thought you had everything under control, and now, yeah, let's talk about that. You know, so you had like the opposite end of the spectrum, and then you have grief of the friendship. So you really had like no support
I was pretty lost.
whatsoever.
And the thing is too, like with my husband, like we're growing closer, but I literally got pregnant with my first child within months. So it was like we really didn't know each other, so we were like bumping heads there too, and I was just like, I didn't know who I could turn to.
Yeah. This is why I think it's so important, you know. I think as women too, and I don't think it matters where people live in the United States. I think it matters, you know, what demographic you are, socioeconomic, if you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom. I think one of the biggest problems when it comes to women is that there is this like unwritten rule that you know, you don't want to show that soft underbelly of not having it all together. And then what happens is that there's this, you know, this highlight reel effect of everybody
Oh
posting
my
everything
gosh.
that's positive. Everybody's got everything going on. And all that does is it like, it makes even higher walls for these moms who are like, they got crafts going on and crap everywhere, and they have a whole mess of everything. And they don't want to be honest with it because they feel like they can't. Society doesn't want us to really tell how we're truly feeling. And then all these other women are just
So
suffering in
true, but
silence, thinking that they're the ones that are messed up. And if they could just, you know, have some other moms in, you know, in their maternity pants still 8 months out in the messy bun or whatever, and they're snotty-nosed toddlers and they're having coffee together and they're like, yeah, this is the spoons I could do today. Like, I'm showing up. This is it. and be
Yes.
welcomed.
That's it. That's the key word right there.
That's so. Do you have any like? We have a moms group in our area. That's a moms of preschoolers. It's called MOPS. Have you? Are
Yeah,
you? Are you
there's one,
familiar
but
with
it's
that
like
group?
30 minutes away from me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. For some people, like when they have little kids, it's successful that everybody doesn't have crappy diapers on and they
Exactly.
all ate something healthy. That's success for the day.
It is.
And that's success. And like maybe we had a couple loads of laundry that didn't have to be reran because I forgot them in the wash and they started smelling moldy.
Yeah,
Just
and
gotta
then
be real,
sometimes I
that
have like
happens.
moms that come to me and say like, "Well, I need to take my kids here because we didn't do anything this week." And I'm like, "Well, you washed them, you spent time with them when they were in the bathtub, like you spent time with them when you were feeding them or cooking. Like they don't realize that that's actually spending time."
Yeah, and that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother thing as and I went through that whole season with my kids of they were involved in a lot of different activities. My boys were in were involved in Boy Scouts, my daughter was involved in Girl Scouts. And there were positive things for they were positive things in both of those. But I will tell you that I think that it's a detriment for kids in a way because they get used to the time that they spend with other children doing events like that, where the moms are then like, okay, we got to have you to Scouts by 6 o'clock or whatever it is, right? So we got to make sure we gobble down our food and then get there and da 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 da, rushing, rushing, rushing for the kids to get there. And what I've seen, and this is a lot of other moms feel the same. It's not really the majority of the relationships that the children have with each other are not something they don't really have time. It's not
Yes.
one-on-one, right? It's a group. And so children really aren't by going and doing all these extra things, the parents think that it's what needs to happen, but it's really not cultivating
Yeah.
true, deep friendships. It's not like riding around the neighborhood and seeing if so and so can come play, and it's like because so and so is at karate or whatever. And I mean, my daughter does martial arts too, but just the fact that I just think that's a problem because then the children aren't really having those
Yeah.
deep, deep friendships, and those are what get you through
So
these tough
true.
times,
That is definitely true.
like
Yeah.
one good friend. That's all you need to pour hope
Yes.
into you is one good friend. And not, 10 of them that you feel like you're imposing when you ask if you can pick up some wipes because, you got like diarrhea fest or something, whatever. Now I'm dating myself. We didn't have things delivered back when 17 years ago, but now things are a little different. But well, tell us about your offer. You have something on your website that people might find
I
handy.
do. I
What
have
is that?
a self-care quiz that you can take because what I'm learning is that a lot of people think that self-care means that you have to go spend like a lot of time or money. Like you have to get your hair done, you have to get your nails done, or you have to go shopping or something like that. And I mean, those things are fine. If you like it and you have the time and money to go do it, then go ahead and do it. But for me, I really don't have the time and I could have the money if I wanted to, really, but I don't like spending that much money on something that I pretty much am gonna mess up anyways. But I have a self-care quiz that you can take, and it helps you find an activity based on your responses. Because there's are different types of self-care, like there's emotional self-care, like professional self-care, psychological self-care. Like there's all different types of it. So based on the area that you're low in, it helps you find an activity that you can try, that you can do like at home, whether it's like meditation, journaling, watching something that makes you laugh, or even like sneaking off to the bathroom and just scrolling on social media until you find something funny. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Or rolling up in your minivan and not coming in the
Exactly.
house for a little bit, and I
Yeah,
may
I do that, and I
do
usually
that
have like a
often.
snack in the what's it called? I can't even think of the name inside that little glove compartment. Yeah, the glove
Oh
compartment
yeah, and the
too. Like it's
console.
always hidden in
Oh
there.
yeah. Yep. I know my kids found mine the other day because I usually have like mittens and hats like on top, nothing. And I don't know, it was warm and my daughter opened and she goes, "What are these?" And I'm like, "You weren't supposed to find those." She was like, "Oh, now I'm getting, But yeah, it's true. Like yesterday, I went and got myself a dip cone at Dairy Queen, double dip chocolate. That's what I like. And I had to get a birthday cake for my daughter. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna get myself. And I pulled up, and I parked, and I listened to some worship music, and I just ate that ice cream cone, and I didn't have anybody fighting and bickering, and it was glorious.
It's
It
so
really
funny
was.
though too about
That's
minivans.
awesome.
When I found out I was having my second one, I went shopping for
What's
minivans
that?
and I literally threw up every time I saw one. Now I love mine. Like after the third one, I like sit in the back, they have
Yeah.
the seats that you can mine's has the seats that the footrest comes up and I can watch a movie and everything. And I'm like, why did I
Oh.
throw up every time I saw these? Like now it's like the best thing ever.
Oh, I totally get you. When I had my second, I had a three-door coupe. I had a Saturn three-door coupe, and I had my first son, and he was in the third door. I could open it and put him in there. And then he was old enough when my second came along to buckle himself so he could get. I'd open the third door, he'd hop over, and then I just pop the pumpkin seat in with the little guy. And my mom was like, "You need to get a minivan." I'm like, "No, I'm not doing it." And when they moved to Japan, they had a minivan that was my grandparents', and you know how old people are, like every 4 years, they're like, "We need a new car." And so my mom and dad got that minivan and had it for a number of years, but they didn't want to put it in storage, so they said, "Hey, we have this mini," and it was a stripped down, like nothing fancy minivan. They're like, "Do you, this would be good for you. Do you want it?" And I was like, "I mean, I know you shouldn't look a gift minivan in the mouth, but I was like, oh." But it was the same thing. Like, and now we're on our third minivan. We had to upgrade because the other one didn't last too long. But I was the same way. I was like, "I don't want to be a minivan, Mom." And when we went and we just had to get a new one because ours had so many miles on it. And my husband's like, "Well, why don't we look at this other, we were looking at Toyotas." He's like, "Why don't we look at the Toyota Highlander?" And so they had a Highlander and they had a minivan, a Sienna, side by side. And they opened up the trunk. I'm like, "I'm not going to be able to fit groceries in that Highlander. Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Nope, it's the minivan." And my husband was like, "Yeah,
I know. Do you have
this
I
was
have a
not you
Sienna?
before."
Yeah.
Oh, do you? You're a Sienna squad. That's awesome. Look. That's what
It's
my
like
daughter calls it.
a
What
kind of like a
color is your
silverish.
Sienna?
Like it looks silver at night, but it looks kind of bluish in the day. Okay.
I have the same color. Yes. I tell everybody that I have a very fancy Japanese office that I do my podcasting in, and that's where I do my podcasting is in my Sienna minivan because it's got really good sound. I can't hear anybody in the house. I'm in the garage. So that's that's a little secret. That's where my recording studio is, and it works out great. No
Yes.
barking dog, no fighting children, and yes, awesome. Well,
Yes, you
I'm
do.
glad to know I have another Sienna sister. So, well, listen, I've so enjoyed talking to you, Cherie. And what would you like to leave our listeners with? What kind of words of wisdom or nuggets as we close today? Do you want other moms and dads? We have dads who listen to, what would you like to say to people who are finding themselves where you were that
I would just like
day
to say
in
that if
Target?
you are finding yourself where I'm at in Target, just give yourself some time. Don't be so hard or critical of yourself because you will find a way out of it. Set some boundaries, just get some you time so you can either journal, write it all out, figure it out. But don't be so critical of yourself. Don't be your own worst enemy. Be your best friend.
That's awesome. I totally agree. And you know what? I'm going to take the quiz and I will tell you that some of my self-care best times are in that pen aisle at Target, just browsing, seeing what journals are out there. I don't even have to buy one. I just have to go, "Oh, that's a nice one." And then I just feel all happy. Or Ross.
See,
Ross is one of my favorite places too.
I
Just
hear about
browsing,
Ross, but it's like further away from me. But I like Costco though a lot too.
Oh, yeah, that's nice too, that they have good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Sheree, for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure, and everything that you've brought to the table in the mic space. I know there's tons of moms out there that feel the same way. So I just thank you for you being authentic and sharing your heart with us today and really helping others that are struggling, because we know that we are not
Thank
the
you for
only
having me.
ones
I
for
truly
sure.
appreciate it. This is so much fun.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I just, I love Sheree. I love this time that we had together. And one of the things that I love most is laughing. As moms, we can find ourselves in dark places. We can find ourselves like losing it in the soup aisle at Target, just like Sheree talked about. And the truth of the matter is, we need to talk more about those times and about how we need to help encourage each other, because we all have been there. Whether or not we want to admit it or not, and it may not look like Target, it may look like something very different, but the fact of the matter is, when you look at the heart is longing. It's longing for connections to other moms. It's longing for connection to purpose of self. And that transcends not even just moms. It's for everybody. We all need that, or we can easily find ourselves lost and adrift and feeling like we're untethered and have nowhere to turn. And there are places to turn. So if you resonated with Sheree, if her story resonated with you, please check out her blog, Mind, Body, Spirit, Bliss, and I will have that in the show notes for you as well. And if this spoke to you and you know other moms who could use a laugh and can use some encouragement, please send this to them, share it with them, go like and subscribe to All the Things with Kristen Schindler, and we'll see you back here next time. And just remember, you matter, your story matters, and keep on going.